cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
Lord Jesus, we worship you. We bless you this morning. We honor your name. Thank you for the privilege to gather in your name, to call upon your name. Thank you for the blessing of your spirit. Thank you for sending, praying the Father to send him to us. Thank you for the comfort. Thank you for the walk, inward walkings of his presence. Thank you for his anointing over us, upon us, and even that measure within us, enlightening us from within, opening us up, expounding us, birthing us, helping us, transforming us, beautifying us, empowering us. Thank you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Lord, we yield to your spirit this morning. Thank you for being with us. Father, we ask your spirit to bless us, will cause the blessing for this meeting.
Amen.
Give us help to access it.
Amen.
Bring direction.
Amen.
Bring clarity.
Amen.
Yield our heart and our vessel under you to be blessed of you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
We worship you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. How are we doing today? Good morning. Oh, is this the morning? Just praise God. How many of us have been blessed so far by what the Lord has been saying to us this last couple of weeks? I think we've been in a certain pasture, I think the pasture of faith, and which is very important, is very foundational to our journey in God. Praise God. Faith is the foundation, right, for the spiritual life, and so that's why they've been bringing it, emphasizing it, showing it in different ways, trying to use different angles to the riches of the scriptures. To deliver the same, it's the same essence. Praise God.
Amen.
Is everything okay?
Yes,
okay, so it's the same essence that they are bringing us to create access for the soul to be into fellowship with the things of God. Mm-hmm. And we've been saying that way is faith, because faith is actually a course, is a training they have to teach the soul. Right, to access God's world and to live in God's world. The Bible says that just shall live by faith. And we've been seeing that faith is different. It's not just faith that we are mostly used to. That is a special faith which Jesus was sent to come and author, and which apostles like Paul and co. were raised and given commission to preach and to teach. And we have scriptures given to us in the New Testament, through which we are able to learn the blueprints and learn all the way and the character of this faith. Praise God.
Amen.
And by God's grace, we are not just learning principles, we are also being, the spirit of it is also being imparted. Because without the spirit of faith, you can't really execute the dictates or the demands. You know, faith life is demanding. It has not in a bad sense. It's demanding in a sense that it asks things of you and expects things of you, but those things are higher than the natural man. So there's the element, there's a spiritual element, which if you don't catch the spirit of it, there will be so much difficulty in living by faith or walking by faith. Praise. So it's a very practical thing, right? It's practicality. So, and the practicality of it comes alive when the spirit, there's a supply, or you're able to access the spirit of it. Praise God. Today there's no time left. There's something in my heart which the Lord put there, but I'm not sensing I want to just go directly into the scriptures. I'm hoping that we'll have some questions this morning. I know we should have some questions. Praise. If we don't have questions, then something is wrong somewhere. Either we're not, either we've just decided that I'm not going to ask questions, or maybe we've not been relating well with the word, or we've not thought deeply about it enough, or we haven't received it. These kind of things don't come without questions, unless you're just storing it. If you're trying to access it, you find that there are a lot of things in the accessibility and usage of the word. That's where questions come from. So I'm trusting God that maybe through questions, we'll see how we'll go in the very short time we have, but that light can be shed and there will be some impartation by God's grace.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I don't know, before that, I don't know if someone will be able to try, kind of summarize Wednesday. Because I feel Wednesday was important in a way, because even though it wasn't a faith message, but we touched on things that are essential in bringing into the practical dimension the essence of the faith message. Right, we spoke about fellowship of the Spirit, right? Accessing it, maintaining it, keeping it, carrying it. And it's from that place, that's where life expression flows from. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if someone can do a very sound recap of that Wednesday. That would be awesome. We can just start from there. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody? I'm going to wait a little. It doesn't have to be perfect, but if you're able to. Okay.
I was just okay. Praise the Lord. From the Wednesday's meeting, it was a different terrain, basically. Babaji went into talking about the manner or characteristics of people that are full, how they interact. Says they speak in psalms and they make melodies. And then Babaji also, Uncle Jeff also explained the Psalms to us using our poetry. He told us about how important poetry was and how poetry can look into some meditations for a while. Then he also spoke on coveting spiritual gifts, which was a very powerful thing. Then one of one of the things that was really important was songs and melodies, and it was something that had been in the dark for a long while, you know, but we started seeing how the soul has the ability to do some powerful things with melodies and songs. that songs can rapture his soul, take back, like transport his soul into different timelines. And I was beginning to relate it to my, like, with times and seasons. In our journey to God, if we have different encounters trapped in songs, we can revisit such altars as we go, as we are approaching. So we are not really dry. Then he said something about hymns, how powerful hymns are, and poems, for instance. Like, if we learn how to... Psalms. I'm so sorry. It's just a red wheelbarrow thing. Sorry, Psalms. And he said how David orchestrated a new part using that. So I think that was for me some things.
Praise God. Thank you so much. I need someone else to do some more to capture the essence of the message. You?
Thank you so much.
In the beginning, you were talking about, because some tongues came and we're talking about the Spirit, like the foundations that have been laid. But now we need to enter the spirit of it, and we're talking about, which is this season is Christ. And we're talking about the real essence of Christ, that Christ is a special kind of anointing to operate in God. We're talking about different types of anointing. The anointing is basically something, a capacity given for something or something like that, like a measure of something given. Sorry? Measure of spirit for something. So there's different types of anointing for healing, for faith and all that. But there's Christ is a special type of anointing for God, to operate God. So Christ is something that when the dose on a man, the man can be born of God. And we're saying that more of what really gives birth to that man is the faith, which is in Christ, or which is in this and that. Gives birth to that man, that man is no more learning the faith of the Son. That man is in a law school, and from there we started moving to a lot of what Annie said, but also we started touching things about feelings. That was one thing we started touching about feelings, about how also there's how we can do our spiritual work and not. Bring our feelings into it, because God wants all of our heart, all of everything, our feelings is part of it. That's somewhere that we can be very ignorant of. But one thing you said, learning based on what Annie was saying, is that there are songs, or there are spiritual songs or hymns that are able to sink deep and take us to a realm from where that song is coming from. But those things are able to touch the feelings. We start seeing a lot about feelings, even in terms of spiritual gifts. Some gifts, we start learning that there are some gifts that it really comes from feelings that you use to give expressions and things like that. But
it doesn't come from feelings.
No. Sorry.
The gifts, you can say it
comes from feelings. Not comes from feelings, but...
Try again.
I'm so sorry. Not from feelings, but it can start out as a feeling or something like that. I'm not too sure how you meant it.
Okay. Does someone else know what at that point?
Can be channeled through feelings.
Okay.
It doesn't come from feelings. It comes from the spirit, but when we use our feelings to engage, yes, to bring it forward.
Yes. Praise God. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we use our feelings to engage and bring things down from the spirit or from up there to help in terms of ministrations and things like that. That was some of what I don't know if
it's okay. Can you speak more about that? That's okay. That one is you can't leave some things like that, because those are dangerous areas. You have to be very clear about that.
So more on the spiritual gifts was So first of all, the spiritual gifts is from the Holy Spirit, obviously, yeah. And the way in which they work, they are operated by faith. But when we need our feelings, we need our heart to be in a certain position to be able to channel them. Yeah. So that's why we were talking about even the feelings, like not just we don't just use our mind. We need our heart, we need our feelings to be able to connect and draw from the depths where those gifts are coming from, and from the is that okay? Okay. the main essence, like why we even started going there, was that because for the spirit of the world to rest, we need all of our heart to be connected, to be engaged. So that's why we were seeing how the being filled engages our heart, our feelings, emotions, and all the depths that are involved in the heart that are needed to be able to carry the spirit of the world that we've been learning so far.
Praise God. Awesome. Is there anybody that didn't understand anything from that message on Wednesday or has a question from it or from any of the previous messages that we've been?
Sorry, sir. I just need more. Like, just more expansion on, we spoke on the way and the truth, but truth, like I need, I don't know, more depth on what like, truth is.
Okay.
Like, because we spoke on, you know, faith, then how to engage truth, like, what makes, I don't know how to explain this question, but we know the life.
Yeah.
We don't know the life, but we know God is salvation is the life.
Okay.
But
okay.
The truth.
You're speaking from that John chapter 14,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Where he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life."
Yes, sir.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Is there any other question?
No.
Okay.
Just to touch on that part, because we started learning, on Saturday about, because last Wednesday we were learning about coming to God.
Yeah.
We started learning first is coming to the Father,
okay.
Which we started learning last week about, Christ being the way to the Father. And, but, when he was talking about preparing a place and everything, at the end, he said something about he'll receive us.
Yeah.
But there's also a receiving the Father does, because if he is the way to the Father, but, the Father is the one that receives, what is that receiving that Christ was talking about in John chapter 14? If he's still the same receiving or if he's a different...
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
And you said that we can please God in measures.
Yes.
But we need to come into all pleasure to actually access the commandment and not just pleasing in measures.
Yeah.
So when we've gotten to that point of attaining God's commandment, does that mean we've been received, or that's something to like prepare us to God receiving us?
Is there any other one? Let's give a little some time. If anyone is still thinking, contemplating.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, about your question. So we said faith in Hebrews 11, right? It says faith is, so without faith it's impossible to please God, right? And I think your question is coming from when we're seeing the difference between just pleasure and doing commandment, right? From the book of Psalm, we saw those angels, that the seraphims, they do the pleasure of God. But the cherubims, who are angels, they are higher in that they do his commandment. Mm-hmm. So commandment, you see from the scripture, commandment is something you do in love. That's a key difference, right? Mm-hmm. And the scripture paints it clearly in that way. Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus will say, if you love me, you will keep my commandment, right? He said, this is the commandment we receive, that we love. So when they are speaking of love, it's in terms of commandment. And then faith is in terms of pleasure, right? So you use faith. When you are in faith, the purpose of faith is to develop you, right, to a point where you can, what faith is telling you, instructing you to do, where you come into the love of it, right? Where you love it. So when you love it, it's not just something that's doing, it's not just pleasure, you are doing the commandment. The word commandment commandments are like a full array of instructions. For example, when they say 10 commandments, you know, those 10 commandments, it's not just pleasure. I mean, they are pleasures of God according to that level. When they say the commandments, it's more than just pleasures. Remember when they asked Jesus, the Pharisees, they asked Jesus, which commandment is the greatest? Remember that? And that was the book of Matthew chapter 20, Matthew 22, I believe, 22 or 23. They asked Jesus, which commandment is the greatest? And then now Jesus, instead of picking one out of all the, you know, all the different things Jesus, the Lord told them were, not just 10. If you count all the laws they gave to Moses, they were almost like 630 or so, right? But there were 10 which the Lord had to be written on stones, and then they kept those ones inside the ark, right? So, and they called those ones the 10 commandments, right? So those ones, they are almost like representative in terms of, they actually, if you look at these commandments, somewhere all the other ones derive from there. So you find that there's a summary thing when it comes to commandment. That there's this, when you enter commandment, you find that inside commandment, there are pleasures fulfilled inside commandment. Right, so that's the idea of commandment. Right. Okay, a question from someone. It says, how do we hold or keep the riches of Christ being revealed for every season? Yeah, so by God's grace, we'll touch on that. Praise God. Amen. So, commandment, that's why God, you see, the end is not just doing pleasure, it's commandment, right? Because what commandment is actually, is a resolved, settled, compilation of the complete will of God, right? So in God's commandment, all his pleasures are summarized in his commandment, right? So when it relates with you, they can't just bring commandment. The goal is to put commandment in your heart, to write them, But they have to do pleasure by pleasure. As you're doing pleasure, you're doing pleasure. After a while, the goal is to have that word settled, right, in your heart. So you see, when they ask Jesus about which is the greatest, Jesus, being even a higher teacher, he has a higher side. Jesus didn't pick out, even out of the 10, he didn't pick. Jesus summarized the 10 more into 2. If you remember, right? He summarized the 10. He summarized like the first 5 into 1, and then summarized the other 5 like into 1. It's covered that. He said the first one is that, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Then he now said, and then the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So when you take those two and go and compare them with the 10 commandments, you go, wow, it's actually true. The actual beginning first 5 or so, speaking about God. Then when you move into the next, now begin to talk about your neighbor. Thou shalt not do this to your neighbor, shall not covet your neighbor's wife, shall not steal, all those things are things that affect your neighbor. So you see that, so Jesus was summarizing those commandments. So what he was actually telling them is that when it comes to God, you don't pick, say, this one is the greater. Is that the fact that you've reached commandments, that you're able to receive the totality of God's instruction. When you get to that place, when you enter that dimension, you are moving, that's where love happens. That's one key with love. Love dimension has to, is, love is like, it has an attitude of all things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you see charity is the love of the holy place which opens the door to God's love. Right? You see charity is the love hopeth all things, believeth all things. It means love does not pick and choose. Right? That's the character of love. Now, if they bring someone and say, do you love this person? Usually, if I say, I like that thing about him, I don't like that one. You don't really love. That's one thing. Love is blind to separation. Love does not segregate. You get that. So that's a characteristic of love. So when you love commandment, you go to a point where you don't have things you do and things you refuse. It has settled in you. You accepted it. That is what faith will war with you, little by little, commandment by commandment, until the heart gets to a place where it gives up and accept all, everything. You know, like David said, he said, I accept all thy judgments concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So that's the attitude of someone that has come, right? That has come into settlement. So when God's word is not just things that you are picking, it's a commandment to your soul. So that is a higher, that's a higher place. You see that? So faith, that's what you say, there are three things that abide: faith, then hope, then charity. Right? Now that charity is the love that faith is, when faith is done, faith produces something called charity. Right? Now, that thing with charity is that charity is what the Father needs to see. Okay? Charity is what the Father needs to see. Who has a question about the Father? And was who? Emmanuel? Yeah. Okay. Charity is what the Father needs to see. Right? And I'll tell you why. Why that charity is the measurement for the Father. It's because the place where you are going to is a love world. Like behind the veil, which is the dimension of God, is in that place, they don't pick and choose what to obey. Right? In that place, they don't pick and choose. When you come out of that dimension, you find people who are pleasing God, but what they are doing is not all pleasing. They are doing measure. But when you move into the behind the veil, they don't do little, they do. That's why you say, bless the Lord, you angel of his, who do his commandment, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Right? So in order to bring you into that dimension, they must see the fruit. They call it the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Peace means you've accepted. So it makes the fruit peaceable. So the peaceable fruit of righteousness is charity. And that's what the father, the end of the father's chastisement is, according to Hebrews chapter 12. Do you see that? Is it clear? Okay. So answer your question. Okay, you have one follow up to that? Okay, we'll take it. What was the question? Tell me quickly.
Can you ask there the difference between justification and sanctification, since these are both done by faith?
Okay. Praise God. Amen. So, sanctification and then justification. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'll just do a quick one there. Now, those are scriptural terms, right? Mm-hmm. Now, justification means... Justification is the determination of the righteous state. Right? So when you say this thing is just, you're making a judgment that this thing is righteous. Right? So to be justified, like some people will say, to be justified is to be declared righteous. Or to be made righteous, right? So justification, okay, is all is righteousness, but is righteousness that has a sense of judgment or approval to it. You get that? Is that when it says just righteousness in living or alone, it's just righteousness, then you call that righteousness. But when you are trying to bring that righteousness and see if it's good enough for somewhere, that measurement is a measure of, it means it's just for that, it's justification. So when you bring it into that place, it is justified. So when they say being justified by faith, it means what makes you approved? When the Lord begins to measure and check, is justification. So really they are the same thing. Right, so justification and then righteousness. And then the question I asked, what about sanctification? So sanctification... Sanctification is if you think about it technically, praise God. Amen. Technically, sanctification is a measure, or is a work that's done to produce righteousness. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Sanctification is like an action word. Like you are sanctifying it, right? Or it's actually to make clean. Sanctify means to make clean, right? So what makes righteous? When you say it's right, it's because there's nothing wrong there. So sanctification means it's the process where they remove the wrong from it, right? And that wrong, that process is a part. It's a part of the righteousness and justification process. That's not all there is. This is a part of it, right? The first part of righteousness process is separation, right? Before you can sanctify a thing, you have to bring it first. If it's far away, you can't sanctify it. You have to gather it. That is first. It's called separation. You separate it from the world. That separation is also a righteousness operation. Means there's a righteousness of separation. That when you say this person is righteous, what kind of righteousness is that? He's right in that he's separate. He might still have all the filthiness, but there's a dimension of, there's a part of, it's a work of righteousness that has been done. But that does not include sanctification. So you can find somebody who has some righteousness, but they are not sanctified. They still touch the unclean. But that sanctification process is a part of the righteousness cause that now deals with taking away the uncleanness from the person. And what does that is a work of faith in the holy place that does that. And then beyond that, there's a final righteousness dimension, which is consecration. Someone can be sanctified, but they are not completely righteous. The end of righteousness journey. Now, in other words, take someone who is consecrated. Someone who has just been sanctified, one is more righteous than the other. Because One of them is approved to God. The other one is not approved to God yet. Because that one can still go back to his uncleanness if he's not careful. You get that? So beyond that, so you have separation, you have sanctification, then you have what they call what? Consecration, which is the final work of righteousness. Okay? Praise God. Now, concerning what Emmanuel asked about the Father, right? Your question was that the scripture says that the Father receives, right? According to Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says that whom the Son, who the Lord loves, he chastises, and then, and what? Scourges every son whom he receiveth. So, and we saw clearly that the Father receives. He said, touch not your unclean thing, and then I will receive you, and then I will be a father unto you. So, the Father receives. But you're now wondering, why did Jesus say in John chapter 3 that when I go, he said, in my Father's house, I'm in a mansion. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, right? And then I will come again and then receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So in that sense, it now sounds like Jesus is the one receiving unto himself. But I thought it's the Father that receives. That's the question. Praise God. Now, receiving, praise God.
Amen.
Receiving, the Father cannot receive any man who Jesus does not receive. You get that? Jesus receives too. And Jesus receives, okay? In fact, Jesus, let me put it this way. There's Father, right? But there's God as well. Now, you will not, every encounter or every dealing you have with God must be Jesus mediated. Even when you are residing in God, you are not residing in God. You are residing with Christ in God. You will never stop being in Christ. Even when you are in God, you will be in Christ. Christ will always, if they remove Christ, you can't be there. Christ will always be the basis. You are only in God to the degree to which you are in Christ, because Christ is in God. That's how it works. That's why every man must put on Christ. That's your wearing for God. Right? That's also wearing for the Father. When the Father says the Father has son and you are children of the Father, you can't come to the Father alone. You just get there and say, who is this? We don't know you. You can't just be with the Father. The Son, he must be there. Check the scripture. That's the order of the Bible. You always see, that's always the order. You will always be with Jesus. He is the one who will always present you. You see in book of Hebrews chapter 2, where he said, I will stand in the congregation. He said, I and thee that thou hast given me. It's you and Jesus. Jesus must be there with you. So Jesus' mediation will never end. You get that? So that means that to be received that's why Jesus himself is everything. Jesus became Christ. He became the Son of God. All these things are for you. He became Christ so you can become Christ. He became the Son so you can. After a while, he became Father. He took on Father. That Father is a name inherited. Because that Father is the end of sonship. You get that? It's a stature. That word Father is actually a stature. Right? And it's a name that Jesus inherited. You see, that's one of his names in Isaiah chapter 9. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. So when you say Father, he's the Father, but Jesus also has the stature. Do you get that? You see that? Now let me try to show you some difference between certain things. Now, you see all those beings, Christ, Father, God, the Son, the Word, all of, you see those entities, right? I want you to be able to see all those beings, Christ, Son, right? You see Father, you see God. You want to see those beings now. Now see Jesus. Jesus was a man. There was a point where he was neither of those things. Do you see that? All those things, those are natures, statures in the spirit. They are divine personalities. Right? That child, Jesus, was born. And now he journeyed. He, at a point, he became Christ. He became Son. Then he became Father. You get? Then he became God. Are you seeing that? So, when you're saying Father, now, it's the Father that receives. But Father can't just receive. Praise God. Father can't just what?
Receive.
It must be Christ who is in the bosom of the Father. Praise God. Who receives you. When Christ receives you first, right, then the Father will receive you. So Christ, anything that God can say, Jesus can say it. That's the thing. So, but when he's saying it, sometimes he might say it as just Jesus. Sometimes he will say it as if the Father himself is speaking. Because he has right to do that. He has right to say. Why? Because he has become the heir of all things. Say, the Father loves him. The Father has committed all things into his hand. Okay? So don't get thrown off. That's what I'm doing. It's almost like a technicality. But as long as you understand the essence of the person, you shouldn't get thrown off by all that stuff. Praise God.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Amen.
Amen.
There was another question from here.
Truth.
The truth. Okay, let's leave that first. Was there another one from you?
Yeah.
Who?
The one
who went to Tomuazon? Okay, per season. Praise God. So it means in every season, how do you keep riches that's being revealed? You have to understand the soul, first of all. Right? How your soul was made by God. Okay. Now, because the first thing that wants to keep it is the soul, right?
Yeah.
And not just the mind, also the heart who wants to keep it. Okay. Now, the way, I will just tell you straight away, the way to keep anything, first, understanding. That's it. If you don't understand something, you can't keep it. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't matter how powerful, awesome the experience, the season, the encounter is. That is not is if it doesn't enter the realm of your understanding, you can't keep it. It's by understanding men keep things. But even if it's not Christian stuff or God stuff, even if things in the world or natural things, if anything that does not act, that does not become understanding to a person,
mm-hmm.
he cannot keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep it. You can't own it if you don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't understand it, it resides in the realm of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You are aware of it, maybe in your just memory or something, but you can't own it. The way the soul owns things, first of all, is understanding, right? So that's the secret. So if there's a season over us and certain things are coming to us and we are learning certain things, it's very clear that attending the meeting is not good enough. If that's all, or just listening to a message and taking it over, listening to that, is also not good enough. Right? Also, remembering what was said is still not good enough. Because after a while, you will forget. Right? So that's why those two spirits work together. So wisdom and understanding. If there's wisdom, no understanding, you've been cheated. Wisdom is what fetches, is what brings an up and is what administers the season. Right? That's the purpose of wisdom. Wisdom fetches the materials. Right? That's when wisdom in terms of dividing scripture, right? And bringing all the blessing from the spirit is an operation of wisdom. That's where hearing of faith comes. That's wisdom. But if wisdom does not operate with spirit of understanding, you can't retain what you've been blessed with. Okay? So, like when I'm asking questions, the reason I'm asking, I'm not just trying to bug you or trouble you or disturb you. What I'm just trying to say, I want to just try and put a demand on you. What am I putting demand on? It's not your memory. It's not just your memory. I'm trying to put a demand on understanding. I want to see how much understanding. Right? That's why I'm not telling you to just recite. That's why I will tell you, I'll wait for you. I'll take. Wait for you. Let spirit come. Because I don't really want you to regurgitate something from me, from your head. I want to see if you can fetch it, if it's in your heart.
Yeah.
It might take some time, but you can fetch it out. That's if it has entered as understanding. So if you don't understand, and this is the problem, because without understanding also is not the end, but at least if you can enter the realm of understanding, then there's hope. Heaven has a lot to work with over time. Right? So, but that understanding, that is where the problem is most of the time. Right? And we know understanding is spiritual understanding. By understanding, I don't mean your mind understanding. I mean spiritual understanding, right? It's understanding that enters the heart, right? So, and understanding something, understanding something is being able to see what the spirit behind that word wants to teach. That is when you've understood. If you only understand just the material, it's not really spiritual understanding. Like we'll be teaching about faith. There's a point where the soul can have the spiritual understanding of faith. When the spiritual understanding of faith enters your heart, and you want to begin to bring out maybe description of faith or faith life, you now discover that you don't need to remember those particular scriptures through which the message came. You will be able to, through riches and various scripture, because the understanding is there. You understand? There's something. Faith is not, it's not an English word that you define. It's something spiritual. That thing, there was a time I knew, this is what faith is. Because there was a time I was saying, faith of the Son. What is this faith of the Son? Even though I could describe, okay, faith of the Son is the one that you use to for things of God, than the other faith, but it's more than that. There's to know that faith is a spiritual thing. That to know, there's a way that the knowledge, the understanding of that faith can enter the heart. You begin to see. And when you, sorry, bless you. Praise God. I didn't get what I'm saying. So that is how you carry seasons, how you make sure you are blessed by different seasons, is that don't stop at just hearing or memorizing. Make sure you access the spirit behind what they want to bring into your heart, and you access that and retain that through what? Through understanding. By wisdom, we build You see that? So, as understanding and establishment, you can't be established in something unless you what? Unless you understand. Understand, that's where labor, the labor is. It's in understanding. That's where you fight and labor to understand. When you try to understand, you will fight. That is just, it's because we are weak. We don't like fighting. We want everything to just, I want. So you can open your mouth of your soul. Let heaven, let all the things just enter. There's no war, nothing. Let everything just sit. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You don't know the kind of thing the soul is. You have to fight. You have to fight. You have to fight. So nobody just knows. You can't just know things like that. Spirit just grow. You didn't know how you grew. I just grew. Oh, God, just, wow. Wow, God just did it. It doesn't, in this dimension, you can't just grow like that. That after a while, you just find, wow, I'm such a spiritual human being now. And you don't know how, there was no war. There was no fight. You didn't fight for understanding. You didn't fight for the world. It's not possible. You don't know what is, you don't know what kind of spirits are standing and have swore that you will never know this thing. You don't know. Daniel's case was a good example, right? So right from when you, most of the time, it's not that God does not bring the revelation. They've released it. Is God hiding it or something? God has, he has given his son. He said, if he can give you his son, will he not freely with him give you all things? Right? So, God is not hiding things from you. A lot of times, we don't know how to position ourselves to contend for what is ours. Right? So he says, right from the day you prayed, the word has already been released. But there are, not so that there are princes who are sensitive to what? Understanding. And that's what Daniel was seeking for, understanding. That will always happen. Okay? So you have to fight. What is the fight? How do you fight to understand? Some of us, we do everything but that one. We do everything but that one. You know, we don't mind being faithful to meetings and all that. When brethren are hanging out, you make sure you are there. You make sure you are always connected. Ah, is that meeting going on? Okay, you make sure you listen. You listen, no? Oh, so you can say I was there. I didn't miss out. But that's not where the thing is. I don't want to call someone out, and this not. I just want to say this for the purpose of teaching, right? And I don't think you guys will not know the person. But sometimes somebody told me that, man, what's your time? You know, let me come and be staying with you at home. You know, when do you get home? So we can just be, come and be staying, and then every time, so I will just be with you. And you know, as I'm with you, something will happen at least. God, I understood the person's heart, right? The person feels that maybe it's difficult. Maybe here, there will be more shield. So, you get that. Wow. But me, I know that it's not by that. You can be, so there's some people who have come to my house before. I know that you came to my house, but I know this is not why you came here. I know that there's a reason why the Lord wanted you to come, but you come here and you end up just gisting and everything. I say, oh, no problem. If you want me, I can gist too. Well, I know that this is not why God sent you here. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? And then we gist and go. But so it's not by being here. That's not the. And I told the person, no, let's leave that. I told the person how my week goes. So if there's no even time, self, if they wanted to do that. I saw the person, but that's not the thing. You're misunderstanding the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I said that if you have time on your hands, go back, take those messages one by one. Listen, first 5 minutes, pause. What did they just say? What did they just say? Go back again. Okay, what did he really say? And then open the Bible prayerfully. Try to understand. That is it. Anybody who you've seen is growing, they've done that. You see everybody here? Anybody who you see a measure of stature of growth, there's nobody who has entered any measure of stature who did not do that. There's no other way. It's not possible. You must actually understand. And each understanding is a building block. It builds, it builds, it builds. A lot of times, the riches of spiritual expression, everything you see, when you are seeing it like that, it sounds like it just came. Maybe it just came on the person. No, nothing just comes on people like that. There are things there inside the soul that makes it possible for you. Do you get that? Uh-huh. So this is that's the core. If you want to pick any attitude you must have, is that you must understand. You must understand. You must have an idea what I don't understand. Like myself now, me, I'm still doing my own. There are things that even messages I've listened to, I know what things I've not digested. And I can't just leave them and go. Maybe there's no time now. Maybe next week that's coming, I already have plans. There are things I'm going back to. Because those things must not pass me by. I must know them. So there is a deliberateness, right? I always use the analogy of school, for example. Do you just go to class and go back home and say, I've gone to class, so at the end of the term, because I went to class, then I'm ready? No, you fail. Right? You fail. It's not about going to class or hearing the problem. No. You must, at some point, you must take the book and open it and say, okay, what is this book actually saying? If you never did that, you will fail. Am I correct? That's the way it is too with the things of the Spirit. These things are specific things. They are written for us. Praise God.
Amen.
To bring you into understanding. You see that? Praise God. When you access the understanding of the season, then there's no way you access the understanding of that season without having the blessing of the season. Right now, in my life, I can almost draw a map of when certain things were added to me in my life. And I trace it back to certain things, understanding that came at a point in my life. That's your journey. You're journeying from understanding to understanding to understanding to understanding. That's the way it works. Because the house is being built. Praise God. Amen. Okay, so I think time is up. So just that last question. That was your question, right? So you're speaking about truth. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the reason why you're asking is because you know that life is the destiny. Even though you don't, might not know what that eternal life, but you know life is the destination. But he now said, I am the way. And we've seen a bit of way. Right, that you said our way is what? Is faith, right? Is faith. Praise God. But you are saying, what is that truth? What is that truth? Amen.
Amen.
Truth is the content of the way of faith. Am I correct? Truth is what? Is the content of the way of faith. Faith is like an instrument that they use to open you to into a certain way to that leads to God. But in that way, there's something. Now I was speaking of understanding just now. In that way, what are you actually to understand is truth. Okay, let me define truth in a way. Truth is every knowledge that can never be found outside the way of faith. Now, there are all these other things we can know, including when you are born a Christian, you are born again. There are many things you know. Jesus died on the cross and all that. You know many things. Many of us have been Christians for a long time, and we knew a lot. How many Sunday schools have you attended since you were born? Can you count them? Right? So, does that mean can I say safely that you know a lot of things? Being a pastor's child all these years, I mean, you know a lot. Sometimes to measure actually know a lot is when you speak to someone who's an unbeliever who has never been to church before, who never opened Bible before, and you want to try and begin to even just have a simple conversation about things. Now discover, wow, there is a great gulf and deficit. Where do you even start from? There's no reference point. Now realize, wow, man, all this Sunday school and all these things have been. I actually know a lot. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But all those things you know, it's possible that not all those things can lead to God.
Yes.
In other words, because there are people who know all those and more who haven't even taken one step all their life towards God. You get that? So there's knowledge, different kinds of knowledge, but there's something called truth, knowledge of truth. And that knowledge is the kind of knowledge. Nobody in this world knew truth until Jesus came. That's what Jesus was sent for. That's what is inside Jesus. When he said he became flesh, and then we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. What's grace? I've told you before, grace is faith or capacity, empowerment. So it's full of empowerment, grace, and then what?
Truth.
That's the content. Am I correct? Grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but what came by Jesus? Grace and truth. Grace is empowerment. Truth, content. We ask you, what was the Son given for? What was Jesus given for? Two things. Empower man to access a content. Those are the two operations of Christ. Empower him. If you don't empower him and bring content, it's as good as not bringing it. He will never get there. But he's not just empowered to fly. He's empowered to access something that he didn't have before. That's Jesus for you. That's his fullness, grace, and truth. So like I said before, truth is the content of the way. Faith is the way. That way is, you didn't have the way. You know, way is an empowerment. That I want to get there. There's no way to get there. It means you're not empowered to get there. But once way is created, right, you have vehicle. Then, but in that journey, there are step after step after step that brings you. Those things are truth. Truth is God's kind of stuff, God's word, God's knowledge. That's truth, right? And truth, the thing with truth is that truth does not come. Truth is expensive. It doesn't come anyhow. They had to send the Son. Because the place where truth is kept is in God's world, not in man's world. Praise God.
Amen.
Man can know many things about God, but never know God's things. Truth are God's things. So, and only the way of faith can assess them. Do you see that? Do you see that? So that's what Jesus was saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So, when you truth is what you find, praise God, truth is the content or the of learning inside faith. What does faith wants to teach you? Faith wants to teach you truth. And then the learning of truth is, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, truth. Say truth.
Truth.
Truth. Truth. That truth, what makes it true is that it is separate. Is it, truth is separated knowledge. It's not, it's something you have to find. It's true. You can't just get it anywhere. Only Christ has it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Said, if you continue in my word. Then are you my disciples. And then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Am I correct?
Yes.
If you continue in my word. You've been hearing Moses and Elijah and all the prophets. You've heard everybody, but you've never known truth. But if you continue in my word. That word my is my word. You know, he personalized it. He's not saying go and take Bible and read God's word. He said, no, there's something called my word. This is what I was sent to bring. Man never had it. Man had scriptures. They never had truth. But if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. So truth is the understanding that the Son or Christ came to bring. You can never find it outside him. Anyone who hasn't accessed Christ or come to the way of Christ, they don't know truth. It's not possible. Nobody can ever know anything called truth outside faith cause. You see, in the book of 1 John 5, he said, the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. You see how particular, let's just read that please quickly. Sorry, time has gone. I'm done saying this. Praise God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, right? If you read verse 19, it says, we know that we are of God, and then the whole world lieth in wickedness, right? Then verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God is come. Now, this is the same Son. The Bible says, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and beheld his glory. As of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Now here, saying the Son of God is come, and then has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And then we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ, that is the true God. And what? Eternal life. So it's very clear that the Son of God is come, and then giving us. It didn't say the Son of God is come and helped everybody to have understanding. That all men, nobody had understanding before, we're all foolish, so now he came and gave everybody understanding. No, that's not what they are saying. Check the way they use the language. It said he is come and has given us an understanding. It's a kind, it's a particular. Men didn't have this understanding before. It's a particular understanding. And this is why he had to come. If he doesn't come, man will never have this understanding. So he has come and has given us an understanding. What is that understanding? That we may know him that is true. Right? So that understanding is the understanding of truth. That's what the Son of God, to make man understand truth. Why? Because you have to understand truth to come to God. Right? Or to come to God's life. When he says that, He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. See, the thief coming not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly. It says that for God so loved the world, and what? His only begotten Son. Are you seeing that? That whosoever believeth him shall what? But have everlasting or eternal life. Are you seeing eternal life? Eternal life is the destination of the way. Are you seeing that? That's what Jesus Christ said, I am. I am the way, beginning. I am the journey, truth. I am the destination, life. So we say that he sent his Son that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Are you seeing that? So you see that eternal life is, let me tell you what eternal life is. Eternal life is when a soul has come into all the inheritance of truth. You have eternal life. Am I correct? That nature of truth is eternal life. So in the way of faith is that nature they are teaching. Understanding by understanding. That's the content of the teaching of faith. So that's why they send the Son. He's come and has given us an understanding to dissect that him that is true. You see that? So what is that eternal life is knowing, well, to know eternal life, right? It's not what you pray for. It's something you know, right? To know eternal life is to know the nature of God. In book of Matthew 17 verse 1, it said, Lord, what? John 17, verse 1. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. See, this thing said, Jesus lifting up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, I know that thou hearest me. Praise God. And then later there, he said that, what? Verse 3. So this is life eternal, or this eternal life, that they may know thee, the one true God, and who? Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. Are you seeing that? So eternal life is the knowledge of God. Not just God. That true God is not saying that they may know the God who is. These other ones are not God. You are God. That's not the sense. True God. He's talking about the nature. What makes him eternal is his truth nature. That word truth means immovable. Truth. This is when everything has gone, this one remains. This one never changes. It never alters. It's the same from age to age. That's the intrinsic nature. When you say it is eternal, means it is true. Eternal means will never change, will never pass away, has no variableness, has no shadow of turning. See those descriptions? That is the description. We ask you define truth. That's what I will say. He has no variableness. He has no shadow of turning. Will never pass away. Will never change. But who am I describing? A person. God. Who am I also describing? A thing. Truth. You get that? So truth is God. So and that nature of God, what the intrinsic nature of God is eternal capacity. Is eternal in nature. Can never die. Can never change. If he can't change, then he can't die. So it means his eternal life. Are you seeing that? Do you see that? So I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you seeing that? The word truth in it is, truth in that dimension is the teaching of understanding to access the truth life. It's also sanctification. Remember in that John 17, he said, Lord, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Praise God. It can go on and on and on and on, and we'll just be opening scripture, but that's enough. So you get the idea of what, when you say truth now. Truth is not dictionary. Truth is when you tell the truth. Or no, truth is, when you say truth in scripture, they are speaking of something, the nature of God. So that's what Jesus said, I am, right? So the essence of way of faith is to bring you into learning of truth that will bring you to the person or the nature of truth. That is eternal life. So I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God.
Amen.
In that way of faith, so just to connect this to last Wednesday, you saw we're talking about the anointing of the Spirit. You now find that in that way of faith, that you now, that's where you now engage the teacher of truth. Right? It's clear why Jesus would say, even though I'm with you physically, but I have to go expediently so that somebody else can come. Why? Because I have things to say. What does he have to say? That thing he has to say is the understanding which he was given for. As he has come and given us an understanding to know him that is true. But in that physical capacity, he can't give that knowledge. See, you can't bear them now. But how be it when the Spirit of truth is come, then he will now guide you into all truth. That is John 16. Are you seeing that? What is that guiding? It's the sense of way. So in faith way, it's where guiding into truth happens. And the only person who does that is Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is teacher of truth. He's the one who teaches. He's the imparter of the understanding of truth. Do you see that?
Yes.
So in faith way, you are learning. So those little instructions they bring to you. When you are, they say, hey, don't do this. You've always done it that way, but don't do it this way now. There's a different way. What are they trying to do to you? They took the way truth does it. There's a way truth behaves. They will now bring that foreign way and say, hey, do this one. Who is bringing that instruction? His Spirit. His anointing. Or the unction. Praise God. When that Spirit of truth is talking about his unction. You know, there's the Holy Ghost. But when they say Spirit of truth, they are now speaking of a spirit who is doing a particular job. This is not Spirit of miracle. This is Spirit of truth. Holy Ghost has been in the earth, not as Spirit of truth. But there will be a time when I go, he will come as Spirit of truth. That Spirit means he's an anointing, amen, to teach truth. That's what 1 John 2 was saying. He said, you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. Those things are all things in. When they say all things in New Testament, it's all things in Christ, all things in God. Then later it goes on and say, but by the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need that no man, what? It teaches you what? All things. And is truth and will not lie. You see that? And is truth. So he's a teacher of truth. Are you seeing that? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, in faith, in inside faith way, that's the school of the anointing. Right? When you are in faith, it's actually the anointing, you engage the teacher, who is the Spirit. That's why you find that when you move outside anointed life, you stop hearing faith instruction. When you enter back into anointed life, you see the instruction of faith comes back. When you move outside anointed life, you start hearing all that things. You hear evil spirits. You know the way evil spirits sound like? They don't sound what you think like. They don't say, I'm an evil spirit. Go and kill somebody. It's just, you'll just be hearing some different contrary instruction. They might not even sound like voice. Sometimes they sound like feeling. Say this, don't say that, do this, hey, keep that one. Those things, they are coming from a deep, you have moved outside the anointing. But once you enter back into the anointing, those things cease. You begin to hear a different kind of instruction because you've come under the voice of the Spirit of truth. So people, when you are living in faith way is anointed way. It means you are living by the Spirit. That's his teacher. It's that voice that's saying, do this. It didn't start by just saying, do this. It starts from scripture first. Usually, it's a scripture that has rested in your heart. They used to prove to you that this is the best course of action. And they give you, do that scripture. Or do that revelation. That's a teaching of the anointing. But when anointing is not there, you can't. You can try and use your mind to hack into that knowledge. You won't even remember. It's after you've done what you want to do. But one thing about anointing is that anointing surrounds you. When you're anointed, anointing dictates your heart environment. The anointing brings a different array of options of behavior. Right. When you are not in the anointing, the options of behavior before you are different. And they are bad things. And there are things you like to do. But once you are the anointed, you move into the anointed life, there are some things will be put away. There are no options for you. Right. There's a way that the anointing will begin to move you and will begin to teach you to live. So you can't separate faith, walking by faith, and then living by, as many as are led by the Spirit. They are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I think that's it. Those are all the questions we have? I think so. Amen. Thank you. Sorry for the time. Okay, another question.
Yeah. So how can I stay within the bounds of mercy when obeying faith and not become presumptuous?
Now, I don't know if that person can, but I'm trying to do this what they are trying to say. To be presumptuous means that you've taken control. Right. And it's possible. So of course you can hijack obedience. Right. And you take over. That's where religion came from. When religion always started from the book. Christianity started from the early church days, spirit and everything. But after a while, what happened? Men took over. And when men take over, what happened? Like what this person is describing, presumption. You now discover that a lot of self-zeal, right? Desire to fulfill self-righteousness, right? And then, and one of the characteristics of that is that, and this thing is very easy to lose it. And this is what you check. Is what gets lost is the constant need for dependency on God. When that thing leaves, men take over. The person, right? Take over. It's possible that's why we're talking about anointing. It's not just that learning scripture and doing. If you try and learn scripture and go and do it, you remove the way they ought to do it. You shut out the spirit. In that way, you hijack the program. You will judge, let me go and do this or do that and all that stuff. Amen. So when you do that, you are not submitting to how God wants faith to be done. Right? That you become presumptuous. Right? And then I think probably the person asking about not mercy is because that mercy, when you are leaning on mercy or operating by mercy means you are depending on provision beyond you that's unmerited. Right? It's unmerited. It has nothing to do with your own righteousness, how good, how strong, how able, how righteous, how obedient you are. That there's that element that this one is beyond me. Now, and you find out by the time you exchange God and you take over, you stop doing the commandments of God. Because really, man cannot do God. In fact, when you won't choose God's own, you will choose the one you can do. And most of the time, those ones are not God's instruction. You get. I want you that you walk out of the way of mercy. So constantly living by mercy, right, means that you are constantly before the throne, right? Mercy, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace to first obtain mercy and then find grace to help, okay? So without mercy, without coming to the throne of grace, you won't obtain mercy. The purpose of mercy is to find grace, right? The reason why you press into mercy is to find it. But you won't find grace if you already feel an insufficiency in yourself. That's the secret. That's the secret reason why people go their own way. If they begin to sense sufficiency, and before you know, you leave the spirit, right? So when you have self-sufficiency, you will not lean. You won't depend on the spirit. You won't depend on the anointing. You won't depend on help from above to live righteously. Okay, so it's more of a thing of the heart, right? Is to know that I'll just give you one attitude where I think we make mistake a lot of times. Now, it is sign a lot of times that you might be moving out of that mercy, grace, anointed way is that you in your eyes, the importance of revelation becomes diminished. And this happens a lot to people. After a while, they stop seeing, why do I need to go and know all these things? Why do I need all this handling revelation, all these many, many things, when I can just be a good person? So they can leave revelation and then maybe think that, okay, let me go and pray more, make sure I'm praying, do my devotion every day, and it can be working. Or is it a trap? When I leave this revelation thing, everything becomes sweet. It's just easy. Fellowship with God, I know, and I just do the good I feel I can do. You see that thing sounds? Right? Because you don't, you know, man, you don't see how that revelation is too, you're not able to relate it. Now, I'll tell you, in that line of thinking, I'll tell you what you have done. What you have done is saying that I want to settle for the good or pleasure that I presently am able to see in my present consciousness, that I can see, and when I look within myself, I see capacity to do. So when you are in that place, what will happen? You won't see the need for revelations. You just want to go and do your simple Christianity. That is okay for you. When you are doing that, that's a place of presumption. You are not pressing into mercy. But if it comes somewhere in your heart, you always know that, look, it doesn't matter what I feel I can do. There is always, it's not God. As far as it's God, there's something more. There's something right now I don't know. That it doesn't matter how well I feel on top of the situation. You know, that's one feeling you can have sometimes. Yes. You go some days, you just glowing in the spirit.
Yes, Lord.
You've just done everything. But, you know, it can be a deception.
Yes.
But it's always good to have a feeling somewhere that even in all this seeming nice place, there's still a lot I don't even know, talk less of doing. It's that feeling that constantly keeps you close every day. And with the book open. And what are you constantly afraid of? That should be a mortal fear you have every day. The things I don't know. Because most likely, when you stand before God, the regret most of the time is that when you now see things you never pressed into, because you never found them to be. It didn't come into any sense of urgency. It's hard to come into a sense of, oh, that's why it's difficult. Is that to feel urgency concerning things you are oblivious to? That's why with New Testament, Jesus first of all came. This gospel first is to the meek. If you are not meek, you will miss the whole point of everything. Because first of all, when I come, you won't even see any point for me.
So meekness is what keeps you in a state of, it doesn't matter what you've achieved, what you have, what you know, you always feel insufficient. I asked God one time, what is meekness? What is meekness? The Lord told me. He told me. He said, meekness is an overwhelming sense of insufficiency in oneself. Overwhelming sense of what? It doesn't matter what you have attained, but you are overwhelmed that I need something. It's that attitude of heart. When you stay there, sometimes it wants to leave you. You pursue it back and say, no, I must stay here. There's still a lot I need to know in God. That's what keeps you learning. You know, in learning, a lot of righteousness will not be revealed to you. That way, you're always dependent on the what? On the mercy. It is looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. Praise God.
Amen.
So we should always look to mercy and long for mercy. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I hope that's the last question. If there's anyone who postpone it till further notice. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And let's thank God for his word today. Father, we thank you. Worship you. Bless you. Mana carry about so prayer. Let's just ask God for, let's tell him that we are still in need of help. And we desire his help. We desire his help and his hand. A lot of these things are foreign to us. Real as they are, but they are foreign to us. When you speak of faith, learning truth, these are foreign things. So we need help by the Lord to strengthen us, to help us. Not to look to the things which are seen, but unto things which are unseen. Let's thank God and let's ask for help, for the right attitude going forward. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We worship your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you. Father, thank you for helping us. Thank you for all your mercy, all your kindness, all your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving no stone unturned, for not overlooking anything because of your love, because any little thing will stop us from coming, but you will not have that. You are faithful. You are highly responsible for us. So we thank you, Father. We celebrate all your love, all your mercy, everything you've shown towards us. Thank you for the faithfulness of always bringing the pastures we need and the food we need and bringing the right season and the right supply of grace and the spirit and ability to even journey into understanding. Father, we give you glory for everything. Father, we don't take glory for any.
Yes,
Father, we are not deserving of it.
Yes,
so we give you all the glory.
Amen.
Father, concerning the pastures of faith, which has been opened, even that walking in the Spirit, coming into understanding of truth. Father, we pray, O God, that your Spirit will breathe upon them.
Amen.
And afresh every single day.
Amen.
Within us until
Amen.
We inherit them.
Amen.
Until they bring us into establishment
Amen.
In light and in all understanding.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father.
Amen.
Above all, Father, I pray, may ability, God, divine ability, strength beyond the natural man, may it possess us
Amen.
So we can do according to your pleasure.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father.
Amen.
We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You Amen.
Dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim. cherubim shine for.